Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Taoiseach Simon Harris has said it comes as no surprise to anyone that there's Russian activity in Ireland. It follows extraordinary reports in the Sunday Times that Moscow's intelligence services allegedly used a honey trap to recruit an Irish politician as an agent with the aim to use them to undermine relations between Britain, Ireland and the EU. And also, of course, we've speculation over when the next election takes place. That's continuing. Simon Harris is heading to Washington tomorrow to meet US President Joe Biden. For more on all of this, we're joined by Harry McGee, Irish Times political correspondent. Good morning, Harry.
Hi, Claire.
So let's start with this story around the politician, that codenamed Cobalt. Simon Harris has been speaking about it, saying, as I said there, it shouldn't come to anyone as a surprise that Russia is seeking to influence public opinion. How's it going down in Leinster House?
Well, the speculation is rife and many names have been bandied around, and I'm not going to repeat them here, Claire, unless we want to spend a lot of 2025
yes.
walking up and down the corridors of the High Court.
Fair enough.
Essentially, I mean, it sounds like a George Smiley plot from a John le Carré novel, Russian intrigue, a senior diplomat who was really a spy, a man called Sergei Prokopyev. And this, of course, is John Mooney's great scoop in the Sunday Times yesterday. And the big surprise for us is that the politicians and the establishment are not surprised. They think that such activity is going ahead. So the background to the story is that a politician was recruited and has worked as an agent of influence within the Irish Parliament for a number of years. And as you said, that agent might have been subject to a honey trap. That's where usually where a person is put into a compromising situation, either romantically or through money. And then they are recruited and are essentially blackmailed into becoming agents working for a foreign power. And that person, according to John Mooney, has been codenamed Cobalt. And one of the most interesting things he said is that particular politician has engaged in many activities that have undermined trust in the institutions of the state. So it is a very intriguing story, but at the same time, it's quite serious. As you said, the Taoiseach said that we shouldn't be surprised that Russia would try to distort or influence public opinion. And we have seen Russian influence over the past number of years. A number of spies have been expelled, or a number of diplomats have been expelled. In addition to that, the cyber attack that crippled the HSE several years ago emanated in Russia, and the authorities here suspect that state players were involved in that as well. Mm-hmm. So it's an extraordinary story.
You had a chat with Cathal Berry TD about this. He's not surprised either. He says that this is true to form for Russia.
Yeah, he said that if you're looking to affect a Western country, if you're Russia, if you're looking to affect a Western country with extensive assets and a poor security culture, then Ireland is ground zero. He said that for the Russians, Ireland would be considered to be the 51st state. And we have so much technology and so much data. Here are so many US multinationals are located in Ireland. And then he said we're very vulnerable because we are not security conscious. We don't have the type of security protocols in place that many other European countries have. And that leaves us open to all kinds of what he describes as asymmetrical warfare or hybrid warfare, which is the kind of the dirty tricks or sabotage activities that are done by hostile players like Russia. Mm-hmm. He instances cyber attacks, misinformation, disinformation, anything that is deniable or that's very difficult to attribute to that particular power.
And there have been calls today for this person to be named. Where is this likely to go?
I don't think the person is going to be named, to be honest, because we don't know what evidence. There is evidence that this person met Mr. Prokofiev over recent years, and there is a high level of suspicion amongst our intelligence services that that person might have been compromised. But I think in the absence of hard evidence, and very hard evidence to show that that influence was actually put to, was brought to bear, I think it's very unlikely that that person is going to be named.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about the election now, because we're in this period of time where everybody is waiting for some sort of an announcement. But a few things have to happen first before that announcement can be made in terms of legislation. So just talk us through where we are and what needs to happen before we get a firm date.
Yeah, well, the two essential pieces of legislation that have to go through are the finance bill and the social welfare bill, both of which come from the budget. Now, the finance bill usually takes several weeks. It goes to the Dáil, it goes to the Seanad, and it goes before committee. That has to go through. If the government is in a hurry to call an election, it can always guillotine the debates in relation to that and essentially push that legislation through. So they're the two essential pieces of legislation. But then there are also several important pieces of legislation that the government also wants to get through that aren't essential, but would be very important from a government perspective. And the first of those is the Mammoth Planning Bill, which extends to over 700 pages. This is Dara O'Brien's big reform bill of our planning system. And the government consider that to be essential to get through before the election. It's at an advanced stage at the moment, but it will guillotine that if necessary. Other big bills from a government perspective are the gambling bill, which is being put through the Oireachtas by James Brown, the junior minister of state. That's another important piece of legislation. And there's also a defamation bill and a small but important piece of legislation that has been brought forward by the Green Party. It's to do with maternity leave for women who have cancer. There's been a lacuna in the law in which they have lost out, and the government has been trying to repair its hand in relation to that, and it considers it very important that that legislation be brought through the houses before an election is called.
So is it the case that all of those pieces can be rushed through?
They can. They can do it overnight if necessary. If for example, the finance bill, if the committee says, oh, we can't meet, they can actually hold a full hearing of the Dáil and label that as a committee and put it through in that instance. So if the government really and truly wants to rush through legislation because it has a working majority in the House, there's nothing to prevent it from doing that.
I think it was your own colleague, Jennifer Bray, who was writing, you know, Simon Harris might, some are saying, call the election when he's on the tarmac, when he comes back from that visit to the States. What do you think?
Yes, he could. And if I say he would, he'll probably be wrong. And he might do it the following week. I spoke to about 30 TDs and senators last week, and there was kind of a variety of options offered in relation to the actual date of the election, extending from late October to early December. But one or two outliers saying that they thought it would be a February election. But the preponderance of thought really is that it's going to be held sometime in November. But no agreement as to when it's going to happen, in November, early November or late November. If he arrives back from the States and calls an election, you have between 15 and 18 working days, excluding Sundays and bank holidays, before the poll must take place. So if he calls it when he comes back, that would be an election in early November. If he tarries for a week or two, we're talking mid or late November, or even creeping into the first week of December. There was some commotion last week when it was announced that the order paper for the Dáil would be changed this week, and the Taoiseach would be taking questions early tomorrow. The Dáil will be convening at 1 rather than at 2 p.m. But that's merely to accommodate the Taoiseach's trip to the States and his flights ahead of his meeting with the U.S. President Joe Biden.
So nothing in that, you're saying?
Nothing in that, but there's so much speculation, Claire. I mean, it's so hard to separate the wheat from the dross, really.
Fever pitch.
Absolutely.
Stuff. But listen, Micheál Martin is holding firm, isn't he? I mean, very vocal, again, speaking at the Dublin Chamber dinner on, was it Thursday or Friday night, saying that he wants to hold out, he wants this government to run until next year, and nothing has changed.
Yeah, he said ideal. He said that February would be the ideal time for the election. But as we know, everything in life is somewhat short of ideal. I don't think the leaders have had that serious conversation as to when the election will be held. And I don't think it's going to last until February. But certainly Micheál Martin, by saying that, has held out the hope that it could be February rather than November. The difficulty for the government is that the unknown unknowns for November are there, but they are far less in terms of quantity and scale than will happen in the new year. You know, there's a kind of a slight buoyancy in the mood at the moment. The government seems to be doing relatively well in the poll, as we've seen in the past. You know, all that could change over the course of a very hard winter. And that's why so many TDs from the government side particular believe that a November election is going to be in the offing. But Fianna Fáil props want to be able to show that Simon Harris isn't the only person who's dictating the pace and timing of the election.
Well, when you mention polls, I mean, Fine Gael are doing well in the polls. Fianna Fáil, not so much.
Yeah, Fianna Fáil, there used to be a phenomenon in England called the Shy Tories, whereas the Tory party would always do a little bit better in elections than was represented in the poll. I think there might be a little bit of that in recent elections. With the exception of 2020, Fianna Fáil have outperformed their opinion poll returns in the actual elections themselves. And Micheál Martin was asked about that at the Corgi Fáil dinner on Saturday night and said that he doesn't pay too much heed to how the party is faring in polls, because he knows that the party has fared consistently well in elections over the past number of years. And he kind of provided a QAD for that of the local and European elections last summer, where Fianna Fáil did particularly well.
Yeah, and we had an in-depth discussion on polls on the programme last week. And while we said they're a snapshot in time, that point was also made about the shy Fianna Fáiler. But I suppose it's interesting that Micheál Martin is pushing back so hard and so often against this notion of a November election. What does that tell us about the relationship between both himself and Simon Harris, and more generally between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael as things hot up and we head to the polls?
Yeah, well, they're rivals, you know, and if Fine Gael is doing very well, that means that Fianna Fáil might not do quite as well, and they will be in competition for the last seats in numerous constituency, and that is a consideration. And Simon Harris has performed well since becoming Taoiseach in terms of public opinion, and is probably still enjoying the last of his honeymoon period. So Simon Harris doing very well will have a slightly adverse effect on Fianna Fáil. So Fianna Fáil will want to ensure that it's in as strong a position as it possibly can when an election is called. And that might be part of the reason behind the hesitation. But they're kind of frenemies because they're rivals, but they also depend on each other. And as we saw in the European and local elections during the summer, for the first time, we have seen very significant transfer patterns between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. They didn't have an agreement or an arrangement in place, and they probably won't have a formal arrangement in place going into this election. But you can bet your bottom dollar that when a Fine Gael candidate Fianna Fáil candidate is eliminated and there are no remaining candidates from that party, that the likelihood is that they are going to transfer to the other coalition partner. And that might be critical in relation to the outcome of final seats in some of the key marginal constituencies. So they are rivals, but they're also dependent on each other. A classical symbiotic relationship, I think.
Well, political frenemies, that's putting it in the best way possible. And I'm sure that's a very common phenomenon too. Harry, thank you so much. Good to talk to you. That's Harry McGee. Now, coming up next, as Israel marks the first anniversary of the October 7th attacks, we hear from a widowed mother of seven in Gaza.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.